Hi, this is John O'Hurley, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd on thisweekingeek.net.
Hello out there, everyone, and welcome to a terribly belated review-o-rama. But anyways, we are here now.
Well, it's because we took vacation, basically.
Well, yes, we did. And anyways, I'm Mrs. Birdman.
I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today's show, of course, brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. Use promo code BROHOOF to get 10% off your entire order. Of course, our good friends over at NobleKnight.com, GameAccess.ca, and many, many others. Also, don't forget about our contest on the right-hand side of the page there. You can win a graphic drawing tablet and have your artwork and your comic featured on a major website. Check out the post for more details. Ryan wrote it, so thank you for that. So, Blair, what do we got coming up in today's show?
Today's show we have for our Game Access Game of the Week is Splinter Cell Blacklist, coming to us from Ubisoft. Next, we have Hasbro, the Metroplex, and Iron Man 3 Legends buildable figures. We'll talk more about those toys later. We also have Star Trek Into Darkness Blu-ray.
Justice League, the Flashpoint Paradox, coming to us from Warner Brothers.
Walking Dead Season 3. And last but not least is 42, the Jackie Robinson story.
Okay, so normally I would cut to my intro of me doing welcome to GameAccess.ca, where you can buy or rent your video games from Canada's online video game rental source. Use promo code TWIG to score an extra 5 days added to your free trial. Well, I'm just going to do that. So there you go. So yes, we're looking at Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Blacklist. In a nutshell, this is the latest alliteration of the Splinter Cell series, and one that a lot of people weren't necessarily sure what to think. Sam Fisher looks different than he has in most versions of the games, and he's played by a much younger voice actor, not being played by Michael Ironside, a new guy named Eric Johnson. And in a nutshell, Third Echelon is gone, and now it's Fourth Echelon, and basically there are these bad guys known as the Engineers, and they're creating something known as the Blacklist, basically to attack America's fuel consumption, to attack basically their way of life, and something that could very easily happen considering all the bad things that are going on in the world today. And that's kind of where the Tom Clancy series has always been kind of known for, being able to pull storylines out of the headlines, so to speak. So you team up with Sam and his crew of the Fourth Echelon, made from people from the CIA, the NSA, and other three-letter agencies, to stop these guys. And, well, it's a fun ride. Each mission, there's over 10, if I'm not mistaken. And you can tackle them co-op if you want, and they score you on your ability to do it like a ghost. Basically, don't leave any traces behind. Basically, don't kill anybody. A panther, don't get seen, but you can kill people, or assault, or as I call it, Rambo. And you get scored in these, and you earn money to spend on upgrades for your suit, your goggles, or your various gadgets. There's also a pretty strong multiplayer suite here about spies versus mercs towards gathering intel, defending terminals, or escorting stuff. And it's not that bad, actually. I like the classic where it's here, hack a terminal and defend it, or be the mercenaries. Also, the mercenaries play from a first-person perspective, which is interesting and a little disorienting at first. Overall, it's a very strong game, and they also have a really cool integration with Ubisoft's Uplay application, where you can earn things in-game. By accomplishing things in-game, you can spend Ubisoft currency to then buy things like a theme for it, which I have on the PlayStation 3, or you can earn more money, you can unlock more gadgets and stuff like that. It's pretty kick-ass. Overall, I'm going to say Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Blacklist, it's a very cool game. I'm having a lot more fun with it than I thought I was going to. And it's definitely recommended, so once again.
Even I had a lot of fun with it, because I would sit in the living room with Michael, and I wouldn't be guiding myself through it, through the controller, but I would be helping him to complete the missions by saying, look, there's a guy over there, there's two over there, and just kind of, it was really cool just to sit back and watch. You kind of got involved in the missions.
Well, then it didn't have to rely on me blowing everybody away. In fact, I would get pissed if I couldn't do it quietly.
He wouldn't try and kill anyone in the entire thing. He wanted to be completely a ghost, a fly on the wall, just happening to infiltrate your
base or whatever.
Infiltrate your base or whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's totally worth it. So if you want to check that out, definitely worth a rent. I think it's worth a buy. There's even a really kick-ass special edition out there you should be going to check out. So that's Splinter Cell Blacklist from Ubisoft. And if you get that special edition, I hate you. I hate you so much. Because I really wanted.
What's in the special edition?
You get a statue. Or not a statue. You get the remote control plane. A fourth echelon. It's actually like the Paladin aircraft. And it's got like a range of something like 200
300
feet.
Oh, so it's
not
like the drone in the game?
No, it's not the... It is not the tri-rotor. Because they kind of tried that with like Black Ops.
Oh, yeah.
And it never worked right because of wind. You get a graphic novel, Splinter Cell Echoes, I think is what it's called. You get some exclusive DLC. You get, basically what you're getting is the map, two new maps. You get Dead Coast, which is available in most editions of the game, and you get one called the Billionaire's Yacht. Which is an exclusive to the Collector's Edition. You're also getting all the guns that you'd more or less get in the High Firepower Pack, which you can buy for about $2-3 on PSN and Xbox. And you're also getting a bunch of customizable stuff, some custom Merc skins, some new guns, some new goggles, stuff like that. I think it's worth it, because it looks neat, this thing. And I think it retails for about $160. And, yeah, the team that made this game, actually, they're from Toronto, which I think is tremendously cool. I've actually had a couple of friends work on this game, and I just gotta say, it looks goddamn cool.
So it's a definite buy for you?
See, yeah, I mean, and it's not too often that I would recommend a game like this, because normally I get frustrated with stealth games. I mean, even with, like, stuff like Metal Gear... I get a little bit frustrated when I have to go quiet. But with this one, you can pretty much choose the style of how you want to approach each particular mission. And that's what I liked about it, that you could do this. Now, I'm actually just going to go double check, see what you do get in the special edition, just so I can be super clear. Yeah, you get an airplane, which is pretty kick-ass. Plus, you get a Sam Fisher poster that I don't have. So yeah, you should, if you can get this, check it out, because that plane just looks kind of cool, and it can fly over 250 feet and has a top speed of 35 miles per hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Better than that drone.
So, next, I guess we'll get to the about 3.5 foot tall toy in the room, not elephant, toy in the room. And it is now a fixture of the Twig Studios, and that would be what, Michael?
This is the Transformers Generations Metroplex. This is, according to the box, the biggest Transformer ever, which originally was the record held by Fortress Maximus in the original G1 line. Now, as you guys may know, I sold off a lot of my Transformers in the past couple months. Once again, bills have gotten in the way, etc., etc. The main reason I was happy to get Metroplex back, or get Metroplex from Transformers Generations, is he's remarkably close to the transformation that the original one was, while taking some of the modern innovations with him. So he stands about 2.5 to 3 feet tall, Metroplex. He has sounds, he has lines of dialogue from Fall of Cybertron. He's like, I am Metroplex. I heed the call of the last prime and all this cool stuff. He also comes with Scamper, who is the little car robot that could transform. Surprising posability on something like that. Think more advanced than a Minicon, but not exactly the scale of a basic figure from the line.
Ours right now is sitting in the studio on a shelf, and Michael has given it his own accessory that his hand is outstretched and he's holding what?
Rainbow Dash. And I did that mostly for scale. Actually, beside this thing, I've got an Ava Robot Spirits figure, which just comes up to Metroplex's knee. I've got a Godzilla figure, which comes up to his shin. And a Captain Jack Sparrow Lego figure, which just comes above his foot. One of the things that I do like about this, it's the intricate level of detail that went into the mold for this. It's really, really well done. He has this giant shoulder cannon, which can be placed into his hand like a gun. Very kind of reminiscent of the big red guns he had in the original figure. If there's anything vastly different with this one, it's the fact that it doesn't have where you could take all the guns and turn it into a person. You could make like a little robot out of the guys. This one doesn't have that. But it does still fully transform into the city, the mobile battle station, and the Metroplex robot. If there is any downside to this figure, it's going to test your patience. What I mean by that is, there's well over 100 stickers. I haven't even done everything yet because I need a more steady hand.
I thought it was all done.
No, I left the rest of them in the box because I have to transform them into the city before I can do it. Which means you do, if you're going to display this figure, he displays well in almost any mode that he's in. I think he looks the best in robot. But you need you need tweezers.
Yeah, a good pair of tweezers is your friend.
And you can't do it in a room that has any sort of airflow.
So like, pack your patience.
Pack your patience. This is definitely a Sunday afternoon, but it's remarkably well done. Now, he does retail for a significant chunk. I think he's $150 at retail right now. And he's worth it. Honestly, I could see this becoming quite the hot collector's item just because of the price. And
because that's not a bad price for
how much you're getting.
How much you're getting, how big he is, and just the transformations and the sheer intricacy of the robot and of the its incarnations.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid figure. Another problem I might say, and this may be unique to mine, is my visor for Metroplex doesn't always stay down, but the fact that you can move it at all is kind of cool. You can actually see Metroplex's eyes, and they do light up, and the batteries are already included and installed. I don't think it's a hard thing to take. I think they're just a couple of double A's, maybe, or maybe even a watch battery. I'm not sure. But they would be really easy to replace. There's articulation on the fingers, which is kind of cool. The arms kind of split apart for people to sit in. If you had, like, mini-cons or basic figures, you could put them in there. But it will display nice. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I can really say about it. It's probably worth about equivalent to two Masterpiece Transformers, some of the newer ones. But I think if you're going to invest in something really cool, get this figure. Definitely take them out of package. This one should not sit in package at all.
That would be a shame if it would sit in a package.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine, because you don't get to see the figure until you open the box. There's no display window on the box. So, Okay. Check it out. That's what I recommend. I also have some more stuff from Hasbro. This past summer, Iron Man 3 came out back in May. And, there were these figures to go along with it. Marvel's Legends series of figures. These things are about, I don't know, Blair, about 5-6 inches tall, give or take. There's some sitting behind you.
Yeah, because they're taller than ponies. So, yeah, about 5 inches tall. And that was our mission of the summer. When we went on our trip to New Jersey, I went into literally every single Toys R Us we could find.
Yeah, and the line had 6 figures this year. You had a classic Iron Man, a modern Iron Man, and a true Iron Patriot. Then later on this summer, the figures we're going to talk about right now is the Mark 42 Iron Man, the the movie version of Iron Patriot and Ultron, who is an Iron Man bad guy and Avengers bad guy. Now, when you combine all these figures, you build the Ironmonger armor.
So within the package, it would have, say, an arm, a leg, a torso, or a head. And you would collect each of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 figures in order to put together this figure.
Yeah, and this is where a lot of it comes down, the Marvel line, is it worth collecting for the buildable figure? This one I like, but I've got some problems with it. There's no posability in the fingers for Ironmonger, but he looks really cool. He displays well, which is, I imagine, going to be a big thing for a lot of people. We, fortunately, through Hasbro, they were able to send us every piece that we were missing.
Mm-hmm.
But Ultron, who is the head for this thing, from what I understand, has been remarkably hard to find. So the mileage on these figures, I like the Mark 42, which is the Iron Man. I'm less impressed with the Iron Patriot, simply because the shoulder cannon on his his shoulder cannon feels a lot flimsier than I would like it to, and it doesn't quite sit right. There are better versions of the War Machine mold,
but the colors look really good.
Yeah, it's a really good looking paint job. Once again, a figure that displays well. However, though, there is a thing on his wrist where he can't quite put his wrist straight out to do the typical repulsor blast pose. And that seems to be a reoccurring theme in these three figures. The one I was most disappointed with, and the one I was really looking forward to, was the Ultron. It's just a very bland figure. There's nothing I can really say about it. It's, it looks like Ultron, but it's an Ultron you don't care about. Blair's just staring at me.
Blink, 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 blink.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. If you're going to collect the line, know what you're getting for. Out of the six figures, there are four good ones, I think. But you don't do that. You don't complete a buildable figure with four pieces. So my opinion is, I find it's really going to depend on your love of the buildable figure, which is Ironmonger, but this is one of those lines where I think you could just pick up what you wanted, and you'd probably be okay with it, which kind of sucks, because I'm just getting back into Marvel Legends now, so, like, I've built Apocalypse, I've built the Sentinel, I've built Annihilus, so, I don't know. That's what we have there.
Well, what's next, my dear? Oh, Star Trek, you say? Star Trek Into Darkness on Blu-ray, coming to us from Paramount.
Why do you do this to me, Paramount? Why do you do this to me?
Why rehash Star Trek?
Well, it's not even so much that. See, I'm not pissed at Abrams, but I can get to that on a later show. In fact, go listen to Future Imperfect, where we bitch about this.
And if you've listened to this review show, you know there's no love lost with me with Star Trek, so...
Yeah, but you liked this in theaters. Own up to it. Own up to it.
I did think it was enjoyable. Were there parts where I was snoozing a bit? Maybe.
See, don't see how, because this movie didn't really let up. In terms, basically, this is the J.J. Abrams version of Wrath of Khan.
But you have more invested in it than I do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point. That if you listened to before, you know that there's no love lost with me. So, for all those Star Trek fans out there, send your hate mail to...
feedback@thisweekingeek.net.
But also realize that the new incarnations...
They're more meant for people like you.
Yes, that you can sit there and say, okay, I'll watch it once and quite enjoy it, and say, huh, Star Trek isn't so bad.
Yeah, I mean, if you want, I'll say this about Star Trek Into Darkness, because I really want to get to my main point about this. The movie is worth seeing once. Definitely, for sure. It's the J.J. Abrams, like I said, version of Wrath of Khan. You do get to see Klingons for a change. RoboCop's in it. Peter Weller. Benedict Cumberbatch is a great con. It's a different take as opposed to Ricardo Montalban's. And then there's Abrams. He's wiped his ass all over this. Lens flares everywhere. They reverse the Kirk and Spock thing where it's Kirk who dies. Spoilers. You know what? You've had since May to see this movie. And they give Zachary Quinto the great con. It's in the trailers. But it's worth seeing once. Let's get to the pissy part. The Blu-ray has just over 42 minutes, I think that, yeah, around 42 minutes, maybe a little bit more, of special features. They're averaging about 3 to 4 minutes a piece. Basically, it's stuff you'd get on EPKs, or stuff you'd see, well, you cut that out. It's stuff you'd see on websites, it's stuff you'd see on YouTube to promote it. They're just not very well thought out. When you compare it to the last Star Trek release, which had lots of commentaries, an extensive making of, if I remember correctly, and from what I've been reading about online, the special features for this movie have been butchered. They have been given to Target or Best Buy or Future Shop as exclusives, exclusive bonus content.
So they've been piecemealed out based on the highest bidder, basically.
Yeah, and that's the way sometimes things go. Like, you and I have hunted, oh, we want the Walmart version of the Avengers, for example, because we got a comic book with it and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it goes. Sometimes Target will get a bonus disc or a bonus episode or maybe a soundtrack or whatever. And that's the way it happens. With Star Trek, it's when you start cutting exclusive content I've got a problem with. So my recommendation for this is avoid this release until something better comes out.
Wait for like an ultimate edition,
yeah.
Or wait for like a 2-pack with the first Star Trek movie and this movie.
Yeah, because they haven't even announced a third one yet. They're talking about it at best right now. So wait. I mean, see this movie once, don't buy it. Like, because let your money and your wallet speak on this one, because if you don't, they're going to do it again. We, as the consumer, deserve much, much better than this. And you know what? I'm done talking about this one.
So you want to move on
to
the epic awesomeness that is Walking Dead Season 3 on, what do we have it on, DVD?
Yes, we got this one on DVD.
So, season 3, so if you have not seen it, spoiler alert, but you've had plenty of time to watch it, so...
How do we sum it up? The prison.
Basically, yes.
Yeah, it happens in the prison, where basically Rick and the group of survivors take over the prison just outside of Woodbury. We meet Michonne, we meet the governor.
I'm angry what they've done to Michonne, though.
Really?
They've pussified her. She's not the badass chick that she was portrayed as in
the comics.
Yeah,
she's a lot harder in the comics. I hate what they've done to Andrea, but that's another thing. Now, this is, we're actually going to be a little light on spoilers for this one, because I think there's a lot of moments that you need to see to have the impact.
Yeah.
The governor portrayed by David Morrissey was well done. I'm really happy with the way they did him. Although I will say, they did avoid the rape scene, which is implied when Michonne gets captured by the governor, and they've kind of turned it on its head with different characters. I do like that approach, actually.
I do think it was a smart business decision, because I think they know how many younger viewers they have.
I think Kirkman, the guy that writes this, and just the people who are in charge of it, Glenn Mazzara and others, decided this might be a better dramatic thing. Plus, I don't know, just, it turned out well either way. There's a lot of cast members that say goodbye in this series, but that's kind of the fun of Walking Dead. You're not quite sure who's going to make it where.
Yeah, because you can get really attached to a character, and then the next show,
they're gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Which, it's suspenseful.
One of the things I will say about this, because I want to move on to the special features for this, the fifth disc is everything. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's the fifth disc, maybe the sixth. Let me double check that. I'm used to dealing with Blu-rays, which are usually a lot less. Yeah, it's disc five. There's a lot of special features, and they run about anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes a piece. One that I really liked was called Safety Behind Bars. And that's talking about set design. Half of that prison you see is sponge.
Really?
Yeah, it's foam core.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that is their production offices.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, like, it was like, holy shit.
You must have watched that special feature without me.
Yeah, because, like, I decided just to sit down one night and just marathon them. There are some audio commentaries. I'm not big on the ones for The Walking Dead. And I don't particularly know why. I know they're insightful and informative, just not necessarily for me. There's also some deleted scenes in this. There's about 15 minutes of them. I can see why a lot of them ended up on the cutting room floor.
But I always like to watch them just to see if there's any little insight that they left out.
There is one in particular, and it's from the best episode of the season. And the best episode of the season, I felt, is where they found the guy from the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to him and his. And he gets into this speech, which is about 2 minutes long, of what happens to people like him, what happens to people like Rick and Carl. It's really intense. The actor who did that, I really hope come, like, award time, people get noticed. In fact, I'm not even sure if the Emmys, I don't know how this world works. I don't know how they do awards and whatnot, but
we're not big on watching all the award shows.
Yeah, that's more Dave's thing as opposed to our thing. But it's very solid. I really think this is the best season of Walking Dead. There are some inconsistencies though. Like I'm just gonna come out and say it. That season finale was bullshit. It was intense, but it was bullshit. But overall, yeah, Walking Dead third season is completely worth it. Be it on DVD or Blu-ray. I really wanted the Blu-ray that had the floating heads in it. Like, the limited edition box set.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I may go out and buy that for Christmas. I'm thinking about it.
It's on your Christmas list?
It is, so whoever's
Santa, are you listening?
I want a box of severed zombie heads. That's how I roll. And we have two releases from Warner Brothers coming up.
Ooh, the first one is Justice League The Flashpoint Paradox.
Yes, now this is adapted from the comic book, which I haven't read, so let me be clear on that one.
And it's kind of like, it's like Bizarro World, like if something happened in the past,
I'd call it closer
to change to the future.
I'd call it closer to Back to the Future. Change one thing, change everything.
Well, I think that's what they mean by paradox too.
Yeah, like basically what happens, the Flash is the fastest man in the world, fastest man alive. He can access something called the Speed Force, where he can basically break the laws of physics. So he goes back in time and saves his mom, Nora Allen, and that changes things just enough where basically Bruce Wayne dies and Thomas Wayne becomes Batman. Aquaman and Wonder Woman are complete assholes.
Thomas as Batman kind of reminded me a little of the comedian.
Yeah, where he's that intense, very, very, very cynical.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do what's necessary, but not necessarily what's right.
Exactly.
And I really enjoyed the intensity of this one. It's the most violent of all the DC animated features to date.
And it's the one that I've enjoyed the most. That I hadn't watched very many of them. And just through doing these review shows, this one is my favorite by far.
Like, the one I was so afraid after Superman Unbound you wouldn't give them another chance. But after seeing Flashpoint, I'm really glad you may want to check out more of them. The performances are great. It's about 90 minutes, which is pretty much it's either 80 or 90 minutes, which is pretty standard for these. You do see a lot of DC characters I didn't expect in this. Most notably for me, they had Grifter from Wildcats. One of my favorite characters that has crossed over into DC in the last couple of years, so that's really kick-ass. You see the new incarnations. Like, in this world, Hal Jordan never became the Green Lantern. They've got Abin Sur on ice. They have Citizen Cold, who's Captain Cold now. They still have Captain Boomerang in Central City and all that stuff. And just enough things have changed. And Harley Quinn has become a character known as Yo-Yo, where Batman, Thomas Wayne, throws her off a goddamn roof.
And keep in mind that despite this being an animated feature, it is not intended for small children.
Well, yeah, because right at the end, Batman blows a hole in Professor Zoom's head. And you see through the hole in his head to see the Flash.
There's also decapitations.
Yeah, there's decapitations. There's people getting things squished. The Amazons, like, shoot Grifter through the head with a bunch of arrows. Yeah, like, it's a really brutal fight right at the end. But ultimately, it's one of the best DC animated ones. As far as I've been told by people who've read the comics, it's pretty close. They have had to change stuff for dramatic reasoning, but still pretty solid. In terms of special features, the weirdest one they have on there is something involving the Flash and time travel, which is kind of strange. Obviously, they have From the Vault, there's commentary, stuff like that. One I really liked was one about the villains of the Flash, because I had no idea who the Weather Wizard was, or Heatwave, or Captain Boomerang.
And they have a sneak peek for Justice League War.
Yeah, so there's going to be some really cool stuff coming out of DC. If Marvel could be as successful as Warner Brothers is with their stuff, I think there might be some real competition, because I'd love to see, say, Civil War adapted into an animated movie. But DC and Warner Brothers have got this market cornered. Now, please, for the love of God, do Blackest Night already. Make it, if it has to be two parts, like The Dark Knight Returns, then do it. If that's the way it has to be, that's the way it has to be. But I think Blackest Night would sell tremendously well. So, Flashpoint Paradox, totally worth it. You owe it to yourself to see it at least once.
And another movie you owe yourself to watch is 42, The Jackie Robinson Story. And this is a movie that I actually watched without Michael the first time, and insisted that it is a must watch for him. It is basically the story of Jackie Robinson, who was the first major league black African American baseball player, and how he came to be that, what he had to go through in order to become that, all the trials and tribulations of the African American society during that time. And I have kind of a neat story from when I was in the theater. I went actually opening night, whenever the boys were recording These Words Are Terrible in Toronto. And I had a family that was standing in front of me in line. And there was mother and three children, probably ranging from 9 to 14. And she was explaining to them how important this movie was for their culture and for realizing what their ancestors had to go through, and realizing kind of all of the benefits that they have today, and people like Jackie Robinson, how they were crusaders for the cause. And I thought that was an amazing thing for that mother to do, to make sure that her kids understood that. What did you think of it?
I was actually surprised just how much I really enjoyed this movie. Surprise cameo by Alan Tudyk as an awesome racist. I also like the fact that they had Harrison Ford in this. And see, these are the roles Harrison Ford should be taking, as opposed to Indiana Jones and the Krusty Balls.
He is my silver fox.
Krusty Balls. The guy that plays Jackie Robinson is a guy named Chadwick Boseman. He looks like Jackie Robinson.
He does such a great job.
Like, I'm pretty sure they cloned him from Jackie Robinson's sperm hidden in the Baseball Hall of Fame or something.
Hidden in a mosquito with an amber.
Yeah, like, he looks creepily like him. But it's a really good movie. I think it's over 2 hours.
It is.
But it goes by so fast.
I think it is a must-watch for any student, probably from grade 5 and above. Like, this would be a great feature to show for Black History Month.
Yeah, and it's a great baseball movie, because I can't think of many great baseball movies. Like, there was Cobb. I think they did one on Babe Ruth.
But, like, with such seriousness and earnestness and, like, sincerity, like, this one trumps every baseball movie that I've seen.
Yeah, of all the baseball movies I've seen, this is probably the best, honestly. I mean, it's got some funny moments in it, but the performances are where it really shines. Harrison Ford honestly surprised me, because he plays, I'm trying to remember his character's name here, Branch Rickey. What a weird name.
Mr. Rickey.
It works. He's so great in this role. And then just seeing how much crap Jackie Robinson has to put up with. They're like, there's one scene where Harrison Ford's talking with him. He's like, I brought you up because you're not going to fight back. He's like, why? Because I'll take it laying down? No, because you're a better man for not doing anything.
Exactly.
And there's just some great intense moments about it. I mean,
great life lessons.
Yeah. Now, some of the special features that they do have on this particular one is they do talk with people. It's called, like, Full Contact Baseball. They talk about the history of Jackie Robinson. They're all pretty short, though, and that's the only one that really kind of sticks out in my mind.
I kind of wish they kind of stepped through a bit more and did, like, maybe a mini featurette on, like, maybe a half-hour thing on the history of Jackie Robinson, the real man, not just the man that we saw in the movie.
Well, yeah, I want something that was complete, not something about the movie, but yeah, like, something completely, give me half-hour, 45 minutes, here's his entire career. We're going to sum it up for you and use archival interviews, stuff like that, not just, oh, yeah, like the special features kind of talk about it, but not too much. I mean, they talk about some surviving Hall of Famers who've played with him. But no, I want to know the story. I imagine if they ever do an Ultimate Edition for this, we might get something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there's tons of documentaries out there on Jackie Robinson. I personally don't know of any.
Probably. So yeah. It would be cool to kind of have like a partnership.
Yeah, like hopefully Warner Brothers can license something like that. But still, it was totally worth it, though.
It is a definite watch and a definite must-buy for anyone. Like,
pretty much any sports fan.
Well, and it's a great life lesson for kids, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, kids these days, they... Oh, man, now, I sound old.
Now, is it a buy or a rent?
I would buy. Because I would sit down and watch it anytime.
All right. Well, that's pretty much going to do it for us. Like I said, sorry we took a summer vacation without really kind of telling anybody. But that's kind of been par for the course this summer. We've been unexpectedly busy.
Even our September and October are getting pretty full.
Yeah, so as always, big thanks to our sponsors of offworlddesigns.com. Promo code BROHOOP, 10% off. Also, gameaccess.ca, audible.com, oneupyourlife.com, sfi.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, bigandtallmart.com, which if you use code GEEK10, get 10% off orders, $50 or more. I don't think I've missed anybody. Oh, check out our contest to win a graphic drawing tablet. Details will happen when you clicky-clicky. So until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd with
Mrs. Birdman saying goodbye, everyone.